Hello, 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 audience. Thank you for being with us here on another AGP podcast, another Average Gods podcast. This is episode 6. I believe it's episode 6 of AGP. It has been a hell of a week. More importantly, it's been one hell of a week because of the weather, which is odd because the joke is that you should never be talking to anybody about the weather, because if you're, it implies that, well, you probably aren't very good friends with that person. You probably don't know that person very well, because if you're, anybody talks about the weather, that's why it's the quintessential banter line. Now, isn't it sunny outside? You see cartoons talking about it. You shouldn't be talking about the weather whatsoever. Nonetheless, we should be talking about the weather, because the snowstorm that has hit the Northeast this week has been particularly brutal, especially here from South Orange Studios here in South Orange, New Jersey, right next to Seton Hall. The storm has laid so much snow here on the premises of South Orange. Unfortunately, it wasn't just snow. There was tons of ice. There was tons of rain. There was just tons of misery and tons of the storm has certainly been fraught with tremendous despair. I did not want this storm. I didn't like this storm. And this is honestly coming from someone who loves winter. This is from an advocate of snow and cold, and I love it all. And I can tell you this much, it's ruined me. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. And apparently we have another storm coming. However, my family back in Pennsylvania is still getting snow. The snow has stopped here probably for the past 2 days, and there it's still snowing. They probably get some kind of squall for about 2 or 3 hours every day. And as much as their big storm really just threw a bunch of snow down on them, and they're now at those terrible 5-foot snow banks and the icy conditions and the dirty, grimy snow and the salt everywhere, as we're reaching that part of winter where, unfortunately, we've lost the novelty of getting inside, putting the fireplace on, warming up the hot chocolate. We've lost that novelty, and it's damn unfortunate. It really is, because I really enjoy that part. I really enjoy fall. I really enjoy winter. I really enjoy the very underappreciated second half of the year. Anyway, I hope everybody's been able to survive the storm nonetheless. I also want to thank Mike for coming on last week. It was a very different show, and I really, really, really enjoyed that, and it was great to be able to go back and look at that footage. And now I find myself editing editing the audio and going back and taking the ums out and taking out all the filler or all the stuff that doesn't really matter, or just putting the good content in. And it's made me feel like a much more legitimate content producer. And if I say to people, well, I've worked in audio production and I'm really in the business of media content creation, so the insider terms, content creator, content producer, I can actually say now that I've done audio editing and I've done content creation, and it feels good to go back. We're not talking about exercise and fitness today though, so hang on to your horses. I wanted to do a topic that in particular was striking me and has been on my mind recently. The summer's coming, and it kind of ties into the last week's podcast where we were talking about exercise the entire time and fitness, and I want to talk about fashion today, and in particular, the changing of the seasons and what you can do to think about your wardrobe and maybe think of some thought-provoking ideas that go along with it, because fashion, at least for me, is a personal and insightful and philosophic decision that I think most people give it credit for. But anyway, it is March 19th, 2017. It is late. I'm recording this on a late evening. Actually, let's just put it this way, Sunday night going into Monday. And it's been a hell of a week. But more importantly, we've had this snowstorm. We've all been putting our coats on. And as much as I enjoy the winter, because you get the ability to put on all these layers and mix and match your outfits, because let's be honest, summer and spring is just t-shirt and shorts. That's all it is. And sure, you have some maneuverability with that, but when you add layers and you add multiple things on top of it, shirts and undershirts and jackets and sweaters and scarves and you can accessorize, that's what it's about. That's the true point of it. This is probably how it's going to be. I don't know, but we've had a couple of summers like this. The 90 degree, 98 degree Indian summer, I believe it's called, where it's just sticky, miserable heat. And you have the air condition on. And as much as everybody's happy to be outside and everybody's happy to not have to think too much about their wardrobe, it is still miserable when that humidity gets up there. And we live in the Northeast. I live in the Northeast. I can just imagine if you're in Texas where you don't even have a winter technically. You have a rainy season. You have a rainforest climate. So what's been on my mind is there was a really good Reddit post that I want to address where it's a part of the MFA subreddit, which is the men's fashion advice subreddit. And I've always gone to this subreddit to get inspiration or to get ideas, because I'm in the middle of my own personal style reevaluation. Because every now and then, I do believe that as a man, you need to think about what you're wearing. It's unfortunate that guys don't think about what they wear so much, and even more unfortunate is that so many guys are just sort of going with the market. And I will also apply this to women, right? Just people in general. How about just talk about people in general? It's your wardrobe and your fashion should really be much more provocative. It should be much more insightful about who you are. And what I find when I go on this MFA, it's men's fashion advice, is the subreddit. I'll put it in the show notes for anybody interested in visiting it. It's all these people that are looking for advice. They're giving advice. They're asking questions. They're sort of anything that has to do with clothing and being a man, right? The post that got me thinking about was, this was a day ago, and it was by somebody who, I won't give their name out, but here's the question. What is provocative, sexy clothing that men can wear? Now, don't get me wrong. I am not trying to be controversial on this podcast by any means. However, what I find interesting is questions like this, where there is some level of provocativeness to discuss, because I'm a guy and I feel I'm entitled to think about this. I think I'm much more intuitive, but at the same time educated as far as fashion and clothing compared to the average guy, which is weird because there's still a stigma where fashion and makeup and doing yourself over, fashion really belongs to women, right? Women, unfortunately, are caught in this, and we're all caught in this, but the tradition, right, is that women have to doll themselves up. They're much more, they're expected by society to focus more on their appearance. It's in some way that they're objectified more, and it's unfortunate. Men fall into this trap as well, but in different ways. But when you think about women focusing more on their fashion, understandably, they should be in charge of it more. How they should be aware of it more. Any self-respecting man who is of age where you need to be focusing on your fashion, I would say that's anywhere between, I'd probably say even high school. I don't know if you should care that much. I think that's odd. I think it'd be weird if your high schooler was really, I guess, maybe getting into clothes. But see, now that's the thing though, because girls in high school are already getting into fashion, and guys are as well, but they're getting into it from two different perspectives. Guys are just, does it feel comfortable, right? And then they're going to go from there. Girls are much more about aesthetic and appearance. And so what I wanted to go back to the Reddit post was about what provocative, sexy clothing can men wear. And it's a very striking post, and I'm laughing as I'm reading it, but I wanted to run through a couple of the ideas that come through. So I said that I think I'm qualified for this. Now, I will preface this by saying that in general, I believe in a much more modest appearance. I do not believe in leading with your sexuality, because in general, whatever you lead with will be what people lead with. We live in a superficial society where we simply cannot get away from it. We can't get away from being superficial. Clothing is how people perceive you. And people who get this, and people who don't get it, don't get it. Unfortunately, fashion is just such a crime nowadays. This is where I'm going to get really soapboxy, but and I think I'll get through this when we finally get to this article. The first one, or the top-rated response, is exposed forearms and calves, which I find particularly hilarious because I never really thought of it that way, which is odd. I have to see if some women or gay men can confirm this, but I had no idea, which also makes me think because I did leg day today and I didn't do the calf exercise. I just did like all thighs and glutes and hips that I made a terrible mistake, unfortunately, not doing calves today. It turns out that's what people are into. Turns out that's what's attracting everybody this time. Who would have known? Anyway, exposed forearms and calves. However, that doesn't make sense because when I was watching a video of Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was talking about doing some weightlifting and his forearms. Even had like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's in his like late 50s, right? He's old, man. He's old. Terminator came out in the 80s, and even in his late 50s, Schwarzenegger has these like jacked forearms, and it's insane to see. God bless them. I hope I can get my forearms to that one day, even though I have terrible forearm problems on my left side, on my left arm. I find it hilarious that we have exposed forearms and calves, because I never thought that. I would have thought shoulders, I would have thought arms. I guess forearms are your arms, but I'm talking more like triceps and biceps. Definitely shoulders, maybe abs, which would be practical in some parts of the country where you're walking around on like Southern California near Venice Beach where you can take your shirt off and it's just normal, or women are wearing bras, or women are wearing sports bras or halter top, where you can show off your abdominals or you can show off your stomach, maybe abs. But I would have never guessed forearms and calves. I guess maybe calves in some way. That's very Victorian. If you look at Victorian paintings, they used to put a curtain over pianos because it looked too much like a male calf and they didn't want to send women into this lustful hysteria. I never could have considered that calves would be part of it. I would have thought shoulders. However, I guess it does make sense. I guess in some ways I'm not a woman, I'm not homosexual, so I wouldn't know what in a man is attractive. But anyway, all right, so another good response. Henleys and rolling up your sleeves. Yes, exactly. Well, he says definitely exposing forearms and calves. Okay, so another one. I do like Henleys. I think Henley is very, very casual. Also very, very natural. And I think that's becoming a bigger style nowadays because there's just so much artificiality. I'm not going to get into my artificiality rant. Let's just keep going. This one has almost 500 points. You know the shirts women wear to show a bit of cleavage? That, but with your shorts, give the people a bit of shaft. Not too much, though, or you'll look like a whore. Gotta leave it to the imagination. Okay, so this is this is obviously a sarcastic post. Yeah, just someone put leather and all black. You know, if you're going for that Marlon Brando, the Wild Ones look, I just finished watching that movie, and what a great look, what an intense look. That's also James Deany, right? Very James Dean with the leather jacket, the rebel, I don't play by anybody's rules. You know, talk about a quintessential American image when years later the image still stands, that the leather jacket still proposes some level of rebelliousness, outlawishness, criminal ideas. What a great look, though. Still a great, great look. I have no problem with it. I would wear leather jackets all day, but however, you can't wear leather jackets in the middle of the summer. Luckily, we have seasons here in the Northeast, but if you're like my one friend Anthony who lives in Hawaii, you could never wear a leather jacket in Hawaii. So I am very fortunate. That's why I like, come on, you got to enjoy fall and winter for at least giving you the opportunity to wear other parts of clothing. Anyway, there's somebody said a Rolex, Ferrari, and an American Express black card. There were some other ones here. Someone said dark fitted t-shirts. I do believe, yeah, tights a very good way to go nowadays, but I think you can't go too tight. That'd be a controversial opinion, but too tight just ruins a lot of aesthetic for a lot of people. If you're talking the general male, the general man, if you go too tight, you start moving away from general American male style, which I'll go into maybe a little bit later. And you got to recognize that really tight fitting pants are a aesthetic style of punk, the skater to some degree. I would definitely say the emo, right? The emo subculture, which has changed, obviously. It's not just Taking Back Sunday and Panic at the Disco and all the other Evanescence. I think Evanescence was in there. Whatever hell happened to Evanescence. They made their millions. I had a really weird Evanescence story where at one point when I was starting my undergraduate, what I remember about the orientation, and they do this performance, like the drama club does this performance, and it's the typical, if you're in college, you're going to get offered like drugs and hookers and cocaine and every drug cocktail you'll ever imagine. And they do this performance of this girl like going into college, and she's dressed so nice, and there she walks up with like her friend, and her friend is so nice, and then it does this very like Samuel Beckett kind of shift where other characters come in and they're like darker characters, but we don't know that they're dark, and it ends with like this girl overdosing, and then she dies, and her original friend that she knew forever is like crying at the end, and it all happens in 10 minutes, and the entire thing is a silent performance that is played with Evanescence in the background, that whatever Evanescence song, that classic one was. And I'll never remember being more traumatized in my life. It was a really good performance, say what you want. It was horrible looking back at it, but now that I'm in it, I'm like, damn, that scared the hell out of me. Anyway, yeah, if you wear too tight of clothing, you'll start moving into other styles. And again, you got to put out what you want. You really need to put out what you really want to be. Unfortunately, if you're too provocative, you got to be careful, because that's what you're leading with. Now some people are going to say, that's what I want to lead with. Hey, that's a different conversation. That's a different topic. But another one, now this was shocking to me, but on this thread, what has been getting a lot of upvotes is gray sweatpants because it shows off the bulge. Now, and here's, I'm sorry. How do I take it seriously? How do I take this seriously? I imagine they're talking about like the gray tapered sweatpants that goddamn Drake is wearing in Hotline Bling dancing. And now all the vines come back to me of them, you know, putting pepperoni on the pizza and hitting the tennis ball. Anyway, I don't get it. I don't get where these gray sweatpants came from. Tell me, somebody tell me, where did they come from? Why do everybody wear sweatpants nowadays? Why does everybody look like a slob? Sweatpants have lost their initial meaning of, I need to wear pants that make me sweat more in the gym because I'm going to lose weight. Look at like Rocky Balboa was wearing sweatpants as he's climbing up the steps of the Philadelphia, insert building name here. Where are sweatpants now this sex symbol, this sexual clothing object, just like the halter top has become this more provocative female clothing, or the short shorts, right? The Daisy Dukes, which have moved from this clothing piece you only saw in a movie to where now everybody has them. They're like normal shorts. Like there were at some point there were 20 inch or 25 knee high jean shorts in some point, and then short shorts were the, you only wore those, right, for if you were putting out that kind of provocative or promiscuous image. And now they're just normal. I just expected to wear them, and I've noticed that I've, as someone who has never worn sweatpants out, and I'm talking these big thick cotton ass gray sweatpants, I have no idea where this came from. Maybe it's Drake, I understand that. However, apparently people like it because it shows off the male package more. Okay. I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing. I'm so humored because of this, because that to me is just so unappealing. I have no idea how anybody could wear them and respect themselves. I don't get it. Here's the thing, because they're saying it here as like a legitimate outfit. Like, you're going on a date, let me put on some fresh Jordans, let me put on some fresh t-shirts, and then gray sweatpants. That doesn't make sense to me. That's like saying 2 + 2 = 5. That does not, that just, my body is my body is physically reacting. It's like if you ate like stale bread, or if you ate too rotten meat, your body's like, nah, son, get this out. That's just no. I put on sweatpants, my legs would just kick uncontrollably in spasms to get them off. I wear athletic sweatpants all the time to the gym and coming home, but I'm only going to wear them, A, when I'm walking to the gym, and then when I'm coming home. I'm not going to wear them out. I'm not going to wear them to meet people. Are you joking? Why would you ever do that? The actual post is, the only article of men's clothing I've heard women really fawn over, and again, this is the internet, and this is Reddit, so take this for what it is, is, but there's a 29 upvotes, well, whatever, it's gray sweatpants because of the package outline. Casual tapered sweatpants rolled up plus tank top look has been one my friends have talked about quite often as well. I want to vomit all over my laptop when I hear that. You've got to be joking. There's no way. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but I cannot. I just, oh man. Oh, and here's someone, you in the sweatpants, dude. Maybe I'm alone here, but I've never heard a girl say, check out that dude in the sweatpants. I don't know. I agree. But then people are saying, yeah, but you gotta, there's other things, and that's what they're looking for. And people are worried more about the physique underneath them. I don't know. That's going to be on my mind now all this week. All this week, I'm going to be looking for people in sweatpants. Anyway, I'm still reeling from this sweatpants revelation. Going into the second part of the podcast, I want to talk about my philosophy about clothing and going in. I think clothing should embody who you are. It should embody your philosophy and your insight. I often find myself being attracted to people, male and female, just based upon your clothing. Not even because I'm superficial, but because usually your underneath your clothing is an embodiment of the culture that you live in and the culture and the type of person you are. Not all the time. Again, not all the time. But don't tell me that if you wear tight skinny jeans and you're wearing a lot of, I'll throw out like a very extreme example, like the skinhead culture. You know, the t-shirts and the music and the band t-shirts and jeans and like mohawks and accessories and piercings. I have adopted a policy where, is the clothing making you as a person, or are you as a person making the clothes? That would be my questioning. Because forever, I am from a very working class, middle working class, right? Both my parents, maybe middle to just above upper, but I would not say that we're upper working class, just because we don't own any businesses, you know what I mean? But for years, my mom dressed me in clothing because that's what you do as a guy, because you don't care about clothing. But she'd always recommend things that tried to make me into a person that I wasn't. And that person was largely a preparatory style of clothing. Now, to some degree, I commend her, because preparatory style never really goes out. It had its heyday in the 80s. It had its heyday in like the 20s and 30s. And then it dropped a little bit in the 50s, where things became a little bit more casual. In the 60s, obviously, it dropped out terribly. But in the 80s, it came back a little bit because there was a lot of prosperity, right? There's great narratives underneath clothing styles. And that's what I love about it. Ralph Lauren, very, very high preparatory style. The bright colored pants, the bright colored polos, and the bright colored Oxford shirts, and the derbies, and the, I mean, let's be honest, you don't have to look past Ralph Lauren very much to know what it embodies as a lifestyle brand, because most clothing are also a brand. They're trying to sell you a lifestyle brand that goes with it. You go into Ralph Lauren, and everything's very upper class. It's very elitist. It's very white, upper class male style. Women as well, unless Ralph Lauren women are definitely there. But let's be honest, you sometimes just have to look at the symbol of it, right? Polo Ralph Lauren symbol, and has been forever, is a man playing polo. And you do not, number one, play polo if you're poor. You do not also play polo if you are not, if you're in the city, right? Polo Ralph Lauren, if to play polo, you need to own horses. You need to have some equestrian purchases, which are never for anybody of middle or lower class. You need to be rich to buy the horse. You need to be rich in order to play the game that requires the horse. You need to hang out with other people because it's a social game in order to play it. So this is a definite upper class elitist. I'd even go as far as to say like New England, maybe sort of around there. I don't think it's like a Southern brand, but I guess it's in the South, but it's like a new upper class New England style brand. And with that being said, I am not upper class, and I've never been. I hope to maybe one day be upper middle class. I think that's sort of where we all kind of want to be. She dressed me in this way, and it never reflected who I was. And I felt like I was trying to be the culture or trying to be the man that the clothes embodied, instead of having the clothes embody me as the man who I am. And I would, if anything, ask everybody out there to think about that. Is, are you trying to be someone through your clothes? I don't, in a way, wouldn't discourage it. Sometimes you buy a piece of clothing and it's different, but because it's different, it makes you think differently. Like, you buy a blazer for the first time and you're like, screw it, I'm going to be a business owner. I'm going to open up my own business because I'm a big shot, got a blazer. Or I'm going to buy penny loafers. And it's like, screw it, I'm going to go buy a horse because I'm upper class. Or if you were a terrible early 2000s kid like I was, then you went through your South Pole phase where everybody wanted to be urban. And unfortunately, say it, African-American, you know, South Pole and Mark Echo was inspired by an urban African-American style and culture, and you have a bunch of white kids from the suburbs who have no relation to the urban, who have no relation to the city, have no relation to life in the ghetto, to African-American culture and life. So what I'd like to go through is just some other brands, right? Some basic styles and what they sort of represent and what to sort of think about them. I'll start off by saying my style now has been more geared towards Americana, dark Americana, working class, work style. Unfortunately, this has been taken over by the hipsters a lot. I'm realizing as I get old, as I'm getting deeper into it, that I really look like a lot like hipsters. But, you know, I'll give the hipsters credit in some way. And also, hipsters weird because I don't think hipsters exist anymore. There's like, hipsters become mainstream, in which that in and of itself has, like, if you think about it too long, it'll explode your mind, and then the whole world explodes and it collapses into this black void of the hipster. It gets very hipster, like the beards, looking like a lumberjack. Levi's is very much the brand that embodies this. The jeans, which are a symbol of working class America. Boots, also a working class symbol. Rolling your pants up, which comes from a lot of the iron workers and people working in mills where they couldn't afford to get the bottom of their jeans caught on anything. There's always a really great story with that. And I've embraced that because I just know who I am now. And I know that, especially coming from middle working class style, and then coming to South Orange, which is greater New York area, you're getting a lot of bourgeoisie here. It's very bougie. And this is actually not as bougie as it could be. If you get into like the Caldwells and upper New Jersey, yeah, that's extremely, extremely high upper class. So it's taught me more about who I am. It's made me more comfortable in who I am. More importantly, it's just made me feel that I'm not putting on this fakeness. I'm not putting on this artificiality. I'm not trying to be somebody that I'm not. And that's what ultimately gives me the greatest confidence going forward and how I've embraced it. Won't lie, it sucks sometimes because so many of the brands cost so much. I've been trying to get Red Wing boots, and it's like, okay, well, what arm should I take in order to get these $400 Red Wing boots? I'll get them eventually. I'll figure them out. Another big one has been preparatory style. It's very, very upper class. It's very, very genteel. It's very, very elitist. It's high colors, high fashion. It's expressive. And I'd be willing to sort of go and say that it's expressive because you can be expressive because, well, you have a lot of money if you wear this stuff. And for the most part, if you wear this stuff and you have a lot of money, who can tell you anything? I want to just go through some other popular stores. Abercrombie and Fitch has been this newer store, right? I think it's dying. Is anybody wearing even Abercrombie and Fitch anymore? I always get that confused with Aeropostale as well. But Abercrombie and Fitch was this Southern California-styled throwback, right, to I'm traditional Southern West Coast clothing. It could be worn in across the country, right? Because it's a business and they have to appeal. But it's really more Southern California lifestyle, very much like Pacific Sunwear, right? The surfer, maybe the skater, but not the urban skater, excuse me, style. Aeropostale is right next to it. That's definitely traditional Americana style. However, it's more of a youthful Americana. It is not in any ways. Your father's not going to wear Aeropostale. He could maybe pull off like one of the shirts, but it's definitely taking like your all-American style and putting it in, and simplifying it down or brightening it up for children. American Eagle, which is great. That's getting more into my style. That sort of that's outdoors, kind of rugged. It's getting more outdoors, definitely. Hell, it's American Eagle, right? There's an eagle in the name. Outfitters, there's also. Gives you a sort of rustic feel. They're not doing very well, unfortunately. Let's see. Banana Republic, which is also a great one. Again, all American, but it's more of an upper class American. It is not meant to be lower class. It's not meant to be elite either. It's getting there. It's certainly trying to get there, but it is more of a chicer, kind of laid back American casual. I very, very like their stuff though. I think it's really good if you want to sort of go for business or more dressy up. GH Bass is my favorite. I wish I was sponsored by them. That'd be great to be sponsored by them one day. But they're so rustic, they're so outdoorsy. That's exactly where I want to be. Let's see some other really good ones here. Calvin Klein, which is going for that urban, I would say maybe urban, more toned down, maybe not as urban as, for example, it's a very urban style, like H&M. H&M is like New York right off the bat. It's very minimal, and Calvin Klein's obviously a minimal brand. It's definitely going for that urban. I'm trying to think of the. I feel bad. I keep using the word urban. Street. There we go. Calvin Klein maybe is a more upper class urban style. It's not street in a way because that's more again like Marc Ecko and Guess. Guess is very street. It's getting there. Calvin Klein's really good. I mean, if you haven't seen Calvin Klein underwear, right? They're famous for their underwear models. Bieber when he did one, all the women when they do them. Coach. Now here's the interesting because like now you'll start getting into very like upper class outlets and styles here because I think most people who are middle class like me can go into Calvin Klein and buy something. They might cringe when they buy it, right? They might go and pay, must spend $40 for their shirt, but goddamn, like Coach is upper. At least for me, it is. I'm not going to go and coach anytime soon. Converse is going for that youthful street urban style, but it's also going for that like Converse is weird because it was hipster for a while, but then Converse became normal. But now it's like I have no problem because like you think of the Chuck Taylors, right? Which were like the quintessential canvas shoes that were there, and then they became sort of so popular. And now it's Converse is this sort of alt brand, right? It's just not mainstream. Converse is just not mainstream. If you're like a gamer, you can wear Converse. If you're an artist, you can wear Converse. If you're a hipster, you can pull off Converse. If you're the guy who wears everything Abercrombie and Fitch, you can probably pull off Converse. It's weird. Converse knows what they're doing. That's Converse is an example of something that used to be lower class and then getting brought up. Express is the factory. Express Factory. I'm looking at names here. Express is really, really good. But again, they're going for the more professional. Well, I'm realizing all the distinctions here because they're not casual brand. They're a professional, youthful, urban. The guys who are like 27 that work in their cool jobs, right? In business or finance, but they don't want to be wearing like Van Heusen or Calvin Klein, who are more adult. They want to be wearing more youthful, but sort of young adult kind of style. I don't like the word young adult either. Forever 21, which is killing it. Forever 21 is like the new chic young women's place to go, and good for them. You know, good for them. I have no problem with that. Gap, which is always a great place, all American, affordable. I really, really enjoy the Gap. And I haven't shopped there in a while, though. But it's also really good. Guess, which is a very good place. I don't shop there that much because they're getting too urban for me. But they do, if you're looking for like you know, there, if you're look like the artist living in like downtown New York, there you're gonna find something at guess. Hot Topic, which somehow is surviving. Where else you're gonna buy your band tees, and where else you're gonna buy your skinny jeans and your alternate clothing style? But for the people that are in those cultures, that are in the, you know, anything from the skater to the hardcore to the emo to the, I have some index up here to the heavy metal to the, you know, even they're even getting into like the rockabilly kind of style, the Japanese style. They're definitely the alt there, you know. So you show up at Hot Topic. I don't know if you're shopping anywhere else, and if you do, you need to question your styling. J. Crew, another great one, but going for upper class, upper middle class. The joke is white people store. I've heard people say that. My one friend says it all the time. What's that white guy store you shop in all the time? I'm like, J. Crew. He's like, oh yeah, that's it. That's it. It's not bad. Journeys, which was big back when the skater fad hit. Remember when the skater fad hit in the early like 2000s and everybody joined the skate crew? Mike Daddy joined the skate crew. I didn't join the skate crew, but I wanted the skateboard, and then I learned that you can get hurt doing it, and I was like, yo, no way. No way, I'm not busting my teeth and landing on my crotch every time I try to do a rail slide and ripping all the skin off my arm just to learn how to do this. Though it is the one thing that I wish I would have done. My one regret, one of my true regrets in life is not learning how to skateboard more. Anyway, Journeys is obviously for skater, sort of alternative styles, young, definitely younger. Levi's is very good. It's one of my favorite working class style. Very always enjoyed that. Let's see, Michael Kors with the multiple lines that he's done. The story I have is, I'll tell a story in like 90 seconds. The story I have about Michael Kors is my mom works for a printing company, and she prints for they do the printing for big designers on Saks Fifth Avenue, and one of the big designers in Saks Fifth Avenue. Saks Fifth Avenue is very upper class. That's you like $400 slippers, upper elite class. Like sell your whole soul just to look in, just to get inside the store. Kind of rich. They were doing a massive sale, and she had all these designer signs, and she brought me in to help organize them because there were so many. And one of the designers there is Michael Kors, and the joke is always that when you look at Michael Kors' brand, it's always just Michael Kors. So Michael Kors has a brand name, Michael Kors. He has another brand called Michael Kors by Michael Kors. He has Michael Kors by Michael Kors, and then he has probably another one that's Michael Kors by Michael Kors, Michael Kors, Michael Kors. So you want to talk about a narcissist, but the man's a very style icon. So God bless him. He's hanging in there. We'll finish it up in maybe the next 5 minutes here. Nautica is a great place to go. But see, Nautica is going for that oceanic culture. That's sort of... But again, if you want to do like an analysis of it, it's like this like white guy store, because Nautica, right, is coming from nautical, which means the ocean. Well, who in history could afford boats? Well, unless you're some poor, terrible fisherman who's working off the coast to catch these fish all day, usually old white, rich white people had it. So it's another great brand. It's my brand when I'm not feeling very hipster and rustic-y, and I feel bad. I'm not doing many female brands. Maybe when I get some female guests, we can go through them. PacSun, I said that. Polo Ralph Lauren, we talked about that. You know, very, very, very rich. There's always these like great basketball stores, which I shouldn't say great because I'm not a big fan of them at all, but like Reebok and Finish Line and Foot Locker. Foot Locker has become like the urban place, and I don't know how anybody, I don't know. I guess if you're into basketball, then have fun. If you're Mike and you enjoy basketball, but I can't get over it. Can't get over it. And let's see. Tommy Hilfiger has gone from this sort of upper class brand to this more adult middle upper class brand, where like if you're really rich you can buy Tommy Hilfiger and be okay with it, or you could be like middle class like me, and if you see someone in Tommy Hilfiger like on sale like 80% off at the end of the season, you can go in there and be like, I got a shirt for like $15 from Tommy Hilfiger and I'm gonna look great in it and this is great, and people will be like, so he must have money because he's from Tommy Hilfiger. That's just me. Anywhere, Timberland is another one, but Timberland's like a very superficial outdoorsy store. Like GH Bass has been around forever. Eddie Bauer has been around forever. Timberland is like, we want to be like rustic and we want to be earthy and we want to be outdoorsy, but we don't want to be the sort of old man kind of old guy vibe that comes from the other stores. Timberland boots were like the big thing for me when I was in early 2000s. If anybody else can agree with me, then agree. But I they're definitely more of a younger brand. I think they're changing that, though, because I think all the people that were into Timberland have grown up, and now they're trying to, like, reel us all back in. Timberland's expensive, though. I have no idea why. Van Heusen is, you know, if you're into Van Heusen, it's professional men's clothing, so suits, stuff like that. One thing I wanted to bring up, and this is what I'm going to end with, is my tedious rant that I'm going to go on for just about no more than 5 minutes about this plague, this cult of athletic Under Armour wear. I'm just shaking my head sometimes. It's just, you know, kids used to wear like Oshkosh Bagosh and these like very innocent clothing styles, and now it seems like all the kids in like 6 to 16 years old are wearing athletic clothing, and especially the women, like girls wearing Under Armour, which, okay, great, enjoy yourself if you're, because I always look at it as like, what is it you're putting out, right? But people are just wearing all this Under Armour, and I don't understand. I wish I did. I don't find any of it appealing. I don't know, does it fit nice? I wear Under Armour stuff to go to the gym, but that's it. Why are people wearing gym clothing to just do their normal day stuff? Why are people wearing gym clothing to just go out? Why are people wearing gym clothing to just live? That's not how it goes. That's not how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to wear your gym stuff to the gym. And maybe Under Armour are just amazing, amazing, amazing marketers and have said to themselves, can we get our people to stop wearing our clothes just to the gym or just to work out or just to do physical sports or exercise and get them to just wear them all the time? I'm sorry, I think of Under Armour and I think of these like bright PennDOT New Jersey Department of Transportation green shirts and these pink, bright pink, like neon pink shirts. And it just, oh Christ almighty, I just can't get over it. I just can't get over it. I have no idea where this came from. I have no idea where it's gone and why that's where everybody's heading. I have like a nephew who is, I think he's my nephew. Yeah, he's my nephew. He'd be my nephew. But he's like 9 and that's all he wears. And I'm like, what are you doing, bruh? And maybe I was into all athletic stuff back then, but then you get out of it. then you start wearing gray sweatpants. That's what you start doing. After you get out of the Under Armour phase, you start wearing gray sweatpants. But he's like 9 wearing Under Armour, just decked out in Under Armour, G'd out in Under Armour. He walks into the room and like I start tearing up. I can't take it. Walks into the room with his lime freaking blue tie-dye PennDOT green shirt, like he's signaling traffic. He comes in with these like bright orange pants, like he just fell into some kind of debauched neon pumpkin light festival. He looks like he's going to rave. That's what he looks like. He looks like he's going to some EDM concert. He's about to start popping Molly. Start going to some EDM concert. He's like, you know, put some bracelets on, get some pacifiers, get some Mardi Gras beads. Go, son, enjoy yourself. Absolutely not. Get that shit off. Don't be wearing that. Start wearing some normal clothing. That's gym wear. You wear that when you're exercising. I don't understand that. I understand that clothes is for athletic purposes. I don't know if people have just gotten lazy. I don't know if people have just gotten lazy with it. And they're like, oh, it's comfortable, so I wear it. People got to sacrifice. Got to sacrifice. All about how you look, not about how you feel. So people are going to be raging at that idea, but it's about the image you put off, because the image you put off is how people see and people understand you. At the end of the day, that's all we have to go upon at first glance. We can't get to know everybody, you know what I mean? We can only go based upon so much. Think about that next time. Are the clothes making you, or are you making the clothes? It should be the latter. You should make the clothes. You should buy clothes that embody who you want to be, as opposed to I'm going to try to be something and hopefully my clothes help me out with that. People will see through that. People will notice that. Be who you are and make sure you recognize and look deep into these clothes. You know what I mean? If you are somebody from the Midwest and you grow up wearing cowboy boots and you grow up wearing ranchero shirts and you want to start wearing, you know, Foot Locker stuff and putting on Air Jordans, might be weird. Don't try to be something that you aren't. I learned that out the hard way. It took me a long time to realize that. I'm not going to be prep. I'm not upper class. I never will be. I hope to be maybe one day, but I'll never embody those ideas, right? It's more about being down to earth and being who who you really think you are. This is a down-to-earth show for an out-of-this-world world. Because of that, I think my clothing reflects that. What does your clothing reflect on you? If someone simply looked at your clothing and said, I'm going to look at the brands he's wearing, the styles he's wearing, the articles he's picked, what would they think? I don't know. Something to think about going forward. Nonetheless, we're at time here. It's been episode 6 of the Average Gods podcast. I want to thank you all for listening. I hope, if anything, I've made you think a little bit about what clothes you wear. Don't be wearing Under Armour. Don't be wearing it. Just wear it to the gym. That's it. Just wear it to the gym. Don't be wearing it anywhere else. Get that shit off. No. Get yourself some real clothes. Get yourself to the Gap or something like that. Wish I was sponsored by the Gap, but I'm not. Don't be wearing that Under Armour every single day. Be wearing that just to the gym and when you exercise. And after that, get it off. This has been AGP episode 6 for Robert Kaler signing off. We'll catch you in episode 7. Thanks. Have a good night.